Psalm 71. I want to speak on this subject, the rock I stand upon, the rock I stand upon. And I'm going to go ahead and read the entire psalm. We're really just going to focus down on verse number 3, but I just want to go ahead and read it because it's all good. So Psalm 71, beginning there in verse number 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. Verse 11, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Yesterday, and we've already talked a little bit about it, I know, but yesterday I was up here at the church, and I was kind of watching the radar because, you know, knew it was supposed to rain. They had talked about, you know, maybe being some storms and hail and stuff. And I was back there in my office, and all of a sudden I heard commotion, and it was a storm's coming through. And it's funny, I didn't really hear the rain as much as I heard the wind up here. And boy, it was rattling the doors. It was very interesting. I think we're cutting in now. Is the battery going dead, maybe? You want to switch me over? Okay. I'm not planning on getting too rambunctious right now. So, I mean, my goodness, I even took a little video. I walked out there and was, you know, standing. It's, you know, yeah, even though it's crazy around here, yes, I'm still standing at the front door watching it rain, watching it, you know, blow around. Like I said, I'm not necessarily scared of storms, but I do have a very healthy respect for them. And though the storms raged outside, here I was in this building, and I was safe because I was sheltered in here. Now, I was kind of worried a few times. Maybe the shelter wouldn't be enough, but I was safe because I was in a shelter. Friday night, there was a terrible storm system, blew through Missouri, Indiana, Kentucky. I don't know if you saw it, but there was some dramatic footage of it going through St. Louis, people up in the arch. You could see it from the St. Louis arch, and I saw like top of an apartment building just rip off. I mean, just amazing footage of that tornado. And that same cell just kept tracking eastward and caused all kinds of damage. There was in Kentucky buildings just completely gone. I mean, just razed right down to the foundation, and saw some footage, airplane footage of the forest there. And you could just follow the tornado path through there, just trees leveled, not a tree standing in the path of that tornado. It was an amazing sight to see. Last I heard, I think there was about 20 people that sadly lost their lives in that storm. It was just a horrible, horrible thing. You know, for all the accomplishments that mankind has done, there's so many things we cannot control. We can go to the moon. In fact, we did it, and we're like, 60 years later, who cares? You know, it's like, we need to go back. But, you know, so we go to the moon, but we can't cure the common cold. We can split atoms, but we can't stop a hurricane. We can't stop a tornado. We can't stop a thunderstorm. Unless you're like a big-time conspiracy theorist on that. We can travel at supersonic speeds, but we can't prevent wars. We can't keep an economy. I mean, there's just so many things we can do, but there's so many things we can't do. Sometimes I think God might just do things to remind us that we are not in control. And I'm almost saying everything, you know, he's doing something malicious, but in the infinite reasons he acts the way he does, I think one of the things he wants to remind us is we are not in control. And a good thunderstorm will do that. A good thunderstorm, you'll get reminded really quick, you are not in control. You know, our pride tries to tell us that we can live without God. It tries to tell us that we have everything under control. It tries to say that, you know, we can handle anything. I got this. We can handle whatever happens, whatever the world throws at us. I don't know about you, but whenever I get to feeling that way is about the time God says, okay, class is in session, Brother Matt. I need to teach you a lesson. You are not in control. Something happens just to remind me I need to trust in him and not myself. Our text this morning is a beautiful psalm. I love this psalm. I love all of them, but I love this one. And doesn't say who wrote it. Probably David probably wrote it. There's a lot of internal evidence for that. If it was David, it was probably written at the time of Absalom's rebellion, just a few years before his death. And you note there, verse number 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. And then over in verse 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed. I'm going to skip that. I'm just going straight to the bald-headed on that one. But these things, these are little clues where David is at. And when you read about those final years of David's reign, his final years of his life, he's far from that young man who boldly faced Goliath. He's far from that mighty warrior who, you know, defeated the Philistines in battle and took Jerusalem and, you know, united all the tribes. He's his strength is past. His military victories are pretty much past. I mean, in fact, his warriors told him, stay at home. We can't keep you safe. You're not strong enough to be out here anymore. He's in the twilight of his life. He lacks the physical strength to fight. He lacks the political strength to even enforce his own will on the kingdom. That's why Absalom could come in and do what he did. His own sons basically rebelling against him, Absalom, Adonijah. And when Absalom even marches on Jerusalem, what does David do? He says, I can't fight him. He retreats. He basically has to fight him later. But he realizes I don't have the political power right now to muster an army and defeat my own son right here. You read about those couple years, you know, Solomon's proclaimed king, and during this time, it's like I say, David is very weak. He is far from that decisive ruler that first took the throne 40 years before this. And at this time, David, with all his strength, David, with all his faith, David, with all his accomplishments, he's learning a hard lesson again. He's not in control. He is not in control. Where could hope be found? Where was shelter from the chaos of the storms of life? I think that answer is there in verse number 3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. That strong habitation is a refuge. In fact, linguistically, etymologically, the words there talk about like being on a rock. It's in there, the idea of the rock. The rock is a refuge. The fortress is a refuge. If you go back in ancient times, and you'll see this in many cultures, Greece is probably the most famous that did this, but you'll see it in the Middle East too. When they built a city or founded a city, of course, you always think of, for defenses, they'd always put the walls around it. That was a big deal if your city had walls. Jerusalem had walls, and these great cities of old would always have these big walls, Jericho and Damascus, places like that. But usually there would be a high point, a hill or something inside those walls. And on top of that is where they would build a fort or fortress. And the Greeks called these an Acropolis. And if you go to Athens today, it's very famous. You'll see it there. There's temples, but that was basically built to be a fortress. And I think Jerusalem at the time of David, like Mount Zion, is kind of that fortress area. So it's kind of the same thing, a very similar layout. But the walls were the first line of defense. You wanted to keep the enemy out. You come in, lock the gates, and you want to keep the enemy out. But if the enemy overran the walls, if they busted through, if they knocked the gates down, if they got in, there was a second place that you could go to, that refuge, this Acropolis, this fortress that was on the hill. The people would rush there for safety, for refuge. You'd have supplies and weapons. A lot of times, like your armory and things like that would be up in this fortress area. Like I say, food, supplies, all this stockpiled there. You prayed you never had to flee to that refuge, but when you had to, you sure were glad it was there. You know, same thing for storm shelters. I keep thinking about storms because yesterday. But the same thing for a storm shelter. You know, storm shelter is not something you necessarily, you know, eat dinner in or go prop your feet up and stay in. I don't know about y'all if you have a storm shelter. I don't think you do that. Most storm shelters are scary to get into because you hadn't been into them since the last time there was a storm. Here a while back when there was a bad storm blow through town, you know, we live in that trailer house. We don't have a storm shelter. Our plan is run to the neighbors for the most part. And but there was a bad storm coming in, and Jake called me. He said, "You seen the weather?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm following the weather." And I'm like, "This looks bad. Why don't you come over to my house? We got a storm shelter." I'm like, "Okay." So we did that. We drove over to Brother Jake's house, and we got there, and he goes, "Yeah, you know, we hadn't been in that storm shelter in a while. I think it's got a bunch of black widows in it." And I said, "Well, guess who's not going in there? No way. You know, a storm shelter is not something. Growing up, we had a little cellar behind the house. Back there, I guess it's all bulldozed now, but they had a little cellar. And the plan was, like, well, if we ever got bad, we'd go in. The problem is we didn't have a door on it. There was all kinds of junk in there. It's like I'm glad we never really had to go in there. But that's what a storm shelter is. It's a place of refuge that you run to when, I mean, there's really no other place to be. You're just trying to save yourself. And that's the same thing with these like fortresses deals. And I think that's kind of what this may be alluding to. You know, I'm so thankful today that we have a refuge. We have a rock of ages to flee to. We have a shelter in the time of storm. And it's better than anything you'll buy at the Home Depot. It's better than anything you'll see on an infomercial. We have a place that we can run to. We have someone to run to find peace and rest. Again, just this past week, and I was a week before, was having a conversation with somebody, and they said, and I don't know how many times I've heard this over the last few years, I don't know how people make it without the Lord. Can I tell you, I don't either. To not have that place of refuge to run to when things get scary, when hope gets lost, to have that place to run to. I don't know how people make it without him. I feel sorry for those around us that don't have that place to run, that refuge. My heart breaks to see their lives laid waste when the storms come. All the stories, boy, if they had only had Christ in their life, what a difference it could have made. I think of the old song, "Where could I go, oh, where could I go, seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end, where could I go but to the Lord?" You can reply back to that with the old hymn, "Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm." You could say it this way. It's like, this is great. There's all kinds of songs that go along with this. I saw one this morning. I was flipping around Facebook, and it was a Florida boy. "Standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages." There's another song. "In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock." Not planning on speaking very long. We're moving through this pretty quickly. I just have a few very quick thoughts this morning. First off, don't wait to find a refuge. Don't wait to find a refuge. If you're sitting in your home and your phone buzzes, scare you to death, and you get it, and you know, I use the Weather Bug app. I like it for most of the weather alerts and things, but they've gotten where now they don't just tell you if there's a you're in a thunderstorm warning. It says thunderstorm warning in your area, and it'll tell you lightning within 10 miles. I mean, I bet I got 15 alerts within, you know, 30 minutes of all that stuff blowing through yesterday. I kind of like it. It kind of makes me nervous too. But if I'm sitting there at my house and sitting there watching the baseball game, and all of a sudden my phone buzzes and I look and, oh, okay, well, tornado warning. Let me call Home Depot and see if they can get me one of those shelters in. It's a little too late for that. You need to have a place of refuge ready before you need it. You have to know where it is. You have to have a plan. That's why it's so important. I mean, even like businesses, places of work, there'll be plans. Well, if there's a fire, do this. If there's that, because it's this mass chaos. But here's what you do. You go here. You do this. If there's a tornado, you go here. You go there. You'll hear people talk about in your home, you know, getting your kids to say, look, kids, if something happens, go here. Do this. Having that plan makes a difference. Don't wait until you need to know where Christ is. You need to spend some time with him and find him way before that. That way it's a pretty smooth track to get there from where you're at. You need to find him before you need him. By the way, we always need him. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But we need to know him. I don't want to be praying, be the guy that prays, and God has to go, "Wait, who's that? I hadn't heard from him in a while." I want him to say, "Oh, hey, it's him again. I just talked to him. He's talking about, what does he need?" That kind of relationship. You get the phone calls from family you don't hear of, and as soon as you see it, they call you once a year or so, and you think, what does this person want? Because that's all they've got some kind of angle. You know, you got somebody popped in your head. I guarantee it. We're not supposed to be that way with God. God's not just a fire escape, but he is a refuge we can run to. And the best thing we can do is know and find it and be ready and ready to run to him, know what to do. By the way, same token, I think it's best to prepare ourselves for these storms of life. Don't wait until you lose a loved one to learn how to grieve. Don't wait until, you know, you get a cancer diagnosis to learn how to trust in him. Be ready. Be ready as best you can for those deals. Find that refuge before you need it. Second, we'll say prepare your place of refuge. Prepare your place of refuge. I think of those ancient days, and they have those little fortresses up there, and they would stockpile. They would have food up there. They would have weapons and things up there. They were ready to go. They, like I say, they didn't do like Texans when you get the deal on your phone, or you're watching Pete Delkus there on TV, and he says, okay, everybody, it's going to get icy tomorrow. And then what does everybody do? You run to Walmart, and there's no bread, there's no milk, there's, you know, everything's gone. It amazes me how in our society with pantries full of everything, refrigerators, we waste more food than anybody else. But the minute it drops below 32 degrees in Texas, everybody suddenly has no food. And everybody has to run to Walmart and stock up. I like to just go just to watch everybody panic. It's kind of fun. But that's what we do. We kind of wait. But to be prepared. To be prepared for that day. We know the storms are going to come. It's inevitable. This is Texas. We're going to get hail. We're going to get wind. We're going to have a tornado every now and then. That's just, that's where we live. It's best to be prepared for it. And that's practical. But the same thing happens in our life. We're going to have storms in our lives. The best thing we can do is prepare that place. Know your Bible. Don't wait until you need comfort to find those verses of comfort. Don't wait until you need to know that God is always there. Know it beforehand. Prepare, fill your mind with the scripture, with the truth. Know these promises of God beforehand. Because it's amazing. I don't know how many times something will happen to me and my mind just drifts back to a verse that I learned as a kid. And is it God just... You're going to need this one day. It's best to have it prepared. Be ready. So prepare that place of refuge. Know Christ and his tender care before you desperately need it. By the way, find out how good he is, and you're going to want to spend a lot of time there. That's my third point. Flee to Christ often. Flee to Christ often. Don't just use him as a last resort. You know, I was thinking... storm cellar, or what really wasn't a storm cellar, but the cellar we had behind the house growing up. We did eventually clean it out, and we played with it a little bit, like as kids, once we got the spiders and everything out of there where I'd go in. When I was a little kid, I played it was Alamo, and that was the Alamo. Anyway, you know, that's just the weirdo I am, okay? But we used to play in that. I remember another time there was a thunder or tornado warning or something. We were little. Dad was still milking. And they said, well, y'all get – they got me and Carrie. We were all in the milk barn. And me and Carrie were in the feed room. Not the cleanest place to be. Not the place to you want to spend a lot of time. Though it was fun in there for a little while playing in the feed. But these places you go to, you think about a storm cellar. Think about the story I told you about Jake. You don't hang out in a storm cellar. You don't say, hey, everybody, we're having a birthday party. Let's go to the storm cellar. Friday night, we're going to the storm cellar. We don't think like that. Let me tell you something. With Christ, though, Christ isn't just a place of last resort. I'm going to tell you a good rule of thumb here, a good truth. Make his refuge your living room. Live there. Live there. Dwell there. That way you don't have to run and find it. That way you don't have to make a move because you're already safe. You're already wrapped up in his love and in his care. His refuge is not a place devoid of beauty. In fact, it's a wondrous place. Think you get a taste of his greatness, of his comfort, of his care, of the refuge he provides. You're not going to want to leave. You're going to want to stay right there. As musicians come, like I say, it's just a simple message this morning. I'm going to share something with you, and I did not want to do this, but this is kind of what sparked the thought for this sermon. I was Wednesday. I was driving down 35, headed down to and down to the seminary. Wasn't teaching, they had finals that day. But I was driving down there to do the finals, and I had a thought pop in my head. I was thinking about music and hymns, and I really would love to be able to write like a classic poetry, classic hymn, and I'm not a poet by any stretch. But as I was driving down, I had an idea, and I thought, well, that's a good idea. I saved it as a note on my phone, and Thursday I got back up here. I worked on it a little bit. And Friday, I kind of got about where I wanted, I guess, which probably doesn't say much. But as I was kind of playing around with this, I put these lines together. When darkness overwhelms the day, when shadows overcast the way, even though my heart should fail in me, there is light though I cannot see. When earthly comforts disappear, when all around is dread and fear, in hard times I still confess, in Christ there is sweet peace and rest. With Christ hope always may be found, though I am sinking in soft ground, I never can fall further than the rock upon which I now stand. O solid rock, I thank thee for that strong foundation firm and sure. Even though my heart may fail in me, your strong arms safely protect me. O rock of ages, my hope be sure grounded in thy grace for me. To thee for refuge I will hide, to ever in your love abide. I pray that you know where that refuge is. I look around, I know we got regulars here. I pray that you know him as your Savior. Don't wait. There is a point, it's too late. But even as a Christian, you better know that place of refuge. You better flee. You better get comfortable there, because you're going to need it. You're going to need to be there. Be ready when the storms come. Have that place of refuge you can fly to and rest safely in peace in the Savior's care. If you'll stand, we'll have time of invitation. 125 there in the blue book, in the Heavenly Highways, for the invitation hymn this morning. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. It's just a simple message this morning. It's been on my heart for a few days, and some of the recent events just kind of pressing it even more. Lord, just I'm so thankful that when my heart is burdened, when I'm overwhelmed, when I get blindsided by things, that, Lord, I may get knocked down, but where I'm standing, it doesn't give. And I'm thankful in your care. I'm thankful in your steadfastness that I don't have to worry about you shifting or you changing, but you will be there, that you are that place of refuge, of comfort and care and love, that, Lord, when our heart breaks, when our spirit is afraid, we can rush to, we can run to, and find sweet peace and comfort. Lord, I pray this is a challenge. I pray it's a blessing. I pray it's a comfort to these here this morning, and just be a simple reminder that we have a refuge and we should fly to you often. Speak to our hearts, I pray, in this invitation time. In thy holy name, amen.